So Kim was saying about me praying for my kids on the bus, and I tried to get to my first bus stop about 30 minutes early, and I sit and I think and I pray. And this is what I pray. Dear Lord, this is your bus. Dear Lord, this is your day. Dear Lord, these are your kids. And dear Lord, I'm your man. And then let the day begin. And let me tell you, there's issues every day. Believe me. Okay, here's a quiz for you. How many days of school left? How many? There's a prize if you get the right answer. 17. Nobody gets a free bus. I get to keep it. Well, wow. I counted here this morning. I think I'm excited about this, but I'm not sure. 5 present or previous pastors. And I'm thinking, what am I doing up here? First of all, I have my pastor, Shannon. And worked with him for, have you been here 2 years in September?
2 years.
And it's been great. Thank you for being my pastor. I love you. Pastor Athena, as you know, is leaving. She served here so well for many years. And Shannon will talk about that a little later. Cody. Where's Cody? Gone? Hi, Cody. For those of you who don't know him, he was sitting over here. I think we might lose him to Warburg. You think? We'll have a piece of you, we'll have a quarter of you this winter, right? Grant and Donna. My. Grant, you married us. And that was 9 years ago, and it like took. I remember standing in the foyer there, and I said, Grant, by the way, welcome, Grant and Donna. We'd like some relationship counseling. That usually means you're having troubles. But we weren't having troubles. But I said, we'd like some counseling, and Clarice wasn't nearby, I thought. And I said, this might lead to marriage counseling, and she heard that. So there went the popping the question. She knew I was going to ask her. And so Grant served here. He must have been my pastor for a year, or two, or three, more than that. I don't know how many. Anyways, we miss you. You're amongst friends, and we love you. We love you both. And beside us is Frank and Dorothea Schmidt. And they were my pastor many years ago, over at Temple Baptist Church, and have subsequently stayed as their friends. Frank has been the regional hospital chaplain for many years, and many of you may know Dorothea as Frau Schmidt at the school. So welcome to you. I almost flipped when I saw you.
If I may, I would like to thank the Lord for my brother,
and
the tremendous support and encouragement in my ministry throughout the ages. Thank you so much, Stephen, in many other ways.
Thank you, Frank.
Also, I'd like to thank the Lord for Grant, supporting me as a chaplain for many decades. So, nice to see you.
Let's hear it for our pastors. Now, usually when the pastor starts to speak, what do I do, Clarice? I grab a candy and I put it in my mouth. I don't know why. And if I don't have one, I say, do you have a candy? And so she rifles through her purse, and maybe she'll... So does anybody need a candy this morning? You know, to sweeten it up a little bit. Now, to those of you who are pastors, are pastors, I did take homiletics. I got thinking about that this morning, back in 1967, at Bethany Bible Institute. And in those days, homiletics preaching was done in the second year. So once you took that course, your church found out, and when you got home from church, you had to preach. So in 1967, I was 18 years old. I preached. They didn't kick me out or anything, but I think what imparted to me was, Dick, we have confidence in you. And I think we want to do the same for our young people, to let them know, not that they maybe will be preaching up here, but that we have confidence in them. And that helped me become a lay person. And I feel for pastors who have to prepare a message every week. So God bless you. For the past winter, we as a church have been telling stories. And Shannon, thank you for arranging all the small groups. And if you look at this piece of paper here, it shows all the places where we have small groups and people telling stories. And it looks like, 10, 11, 12 groups? And they've been exciting. I think you've had a good time. We have. So what we did this week in our small group, and our small group is 8 people, David, Margaret Knox, Phil and Kathy Drader, Ann Vanderly, Linda Forstel, and us. Instead of doing the telling the story after the message, we did it before. In other words, this past Thursday, we talked about the story, which I'm eventually going to get to today. I promise. It's... Hi, Athena, we just want to tell you we love you. So, I will get to the story, but it's going to take just a little while. I'm taking a few liberties here, and I hope you don't mind, Shannon. I'm going to start with this, and I promise I won't be too long. On the 7th of May, Saturday, I was looking in the Edmonton Journal. And, of course, you know that everything in the Edmonton Journal is quite true. And I think this might be the religious section, but I'm not sure. And I saw an article in there, and it kind of caught my attention. It says, Bibles for Zambians. And I'm going to read you just a little bit about this, and then I'll tell you why I'm doing this. And I promise this won't take too long. So you see a man there, and he's holding some girls' dresses. And, of course, knowing that Clarice is into the dress a girl and some of the others, I thought, I have to read this. Give me a moment, and I'm just going to read some of the highlights of this. This man's name is Claire Zilkowski. His first visit to Zambia, Africa, was with the Gideon's organization, handing out New Testaments. On that trip, he learned many pastors in Zambia don't have a Bible. Did you get that? Many pastors don't have a Bible of their own. Villages are many miles apart, and pastors pedal their bikes 2 or 3 hours to the home of a pastor who has a Bible. There they read a portion of Scripture, write it out, compose a group sermon, and go back and preach it in their congregation. Then they do the same thing the following week. I thought to myself, there has to be more that we can do for these pastors. I clearly heard God calling me to do something. Zilkowski established Beautiful Feet Ministries in 2015 and began collecting study Bibles, Bible commentaries, basic theology textbooks, and putting them together for pastors' packs in Zambia. So he went to a different organization, and one organization said, if you pay the shipping, we'll give you the Bibles. So he gives out the Bibles, and the criteria for receiving the Bible from Zilkowski's ministry is if you can read one verse, you get a Bible. No matter how many Bibles I take, I always run out. Giving away the Bible I preach from on the last day. Zukowski's first trip to Zambia, he decided to hold Billy Graham-style crusade. The response was marvelous. We began an hour of music provided by people from the Zambian Bible College. People began coming from the bush everywhere. We held two nights of meetings and over 400 people decided to give their lives to Christ. On his second crusade, Zukowski held 12 crusade meetings, spoke 34 times, and saw 2,680 decisions made for Christ. That opened the opportunity for what he called pop-up church. We held a crusade on Saturday, and on Sunday, the people who gave their lives to Christ gathered to worship and learn. It was an instant church plant. We planted four such congregations the last time I was there. Now the churches are sending out missionaries to plant more churches. Edmonton Journal. It's no problem to attract the crowd because they haven't seen any white people. All you have to do is walk around the village, and they come. Beautiful Feet Ministries is a registered charitable organization. So they have these containers, and each one has around $90,000 worth of stuff. Most of it I've scrounged for free. The containers are loaded with skids of Bibles, study Bibles, Gideon's New Testaments, teaching materials, commentaries, 6,400 daily devotional magazines, and other things. Once in Zambia, the metal containers become a two-room school. Pallets are made into pews, cardboard boxes, repurposed. Zukowski's next trip to Zambia will be June 8th. That's 3 days from now. In November, he will take underwear and 2,400 pillowcase dresses for little girls in orphanage run by women, a woman who cares for 3,900 orphans. So here's what I'm coming to. Zukowski welcomes donations of Bibles in all versions, daily devotional materials, and Bible commentaries. I just thought I'd share that with you. So since this had got Clarice's interest, of course, she phoned the guy and wanted to know if he was for real. And sure enough, he was. And so hopefully when they go again in November, we can maybe gather some Bibles for him or money for Bibles or something. He seems legit, wouldn't you say, Clarice? And this is what Clarice wrote. She said, "We take it for granted that we can have a Bible in our homes to read, perhaps in several translations. We need to remember that people in the past suffered severe persecution so that we would have that right. Wycliffe translated the Bible into English, and Luther translated the New Testament into German so the common people could read it. In Africa, not even all pastors own a Bible." There you go. Okay, that's the first diversion. I have one more. And then I'll get to the story, I promise. A few weeks ago, I was at my mother's house. And my mother's 96, and so she has old stuff in her house. And lo and behold, this is a Christian Digest from 1944. And I want to read you just the last page, and I promise again it won't take long. Do you ever wonder which way you're going when you die? It seems like these people that I'm going to quote have an idea where they're going. And so they didn't even have to wait till they were actually gone. They seemed to know. And so I'm going to read you a few words, dying words of sinners, dying words of saints. And I'm doing this because, well, it caught my attention and I've got the mic. Yes. Dying words of sinners. "I am suffering the pangs of the damned. Give me," I don't know what this means, "laudium, that I may think of that I may not think of eternity." Voltaire said, "I am abandoned by God and man. I shall go to hell. O Christ, O Jesus Christ." Charles IX, King of France, "What blood, what murders, what evil counsels have I followed? I am lost. I see it well." Thomas Paine said, "I would give worlds if I had them in the Age of Reason. Had never been published. O Lord, help me. Christ, help me. Stay with me. It is hell to be left alone." And the last one, dying words of sinners, oh, that I was to lie upon the fire that's never quenched 1,000 years to purchase the favor of God and be reunited with him again. But it is a fruitless wish. Millions and millions of years will bring me no nearer to the torments that one poor hour. Oh, eternity, eternity, forever and ever. Oh, the insufferable pangs of hell. These are for people who are living. Dying words of saints. May this be us. The chariot has come. I am ready to step in. Eternity rolls before me like a sea of glory. Martha McCracken, how bright the room, how full of angels. Dr. Cullen, I wish I had the power of writing. I wish I would describe how pleasant it is to die. The sun is setting, mine is rising. I go from this bed to a crown. Can this be death? Why, it's better than living. Tell them I die happy in Jesus. Two more. I am in perfect peace, resting alone on the blood of Christ. I find this amply sufficient with which to enter the presence of God. And the last one, Mrs. Mary Francis. Oh, that I could tell you what joy I possess. I am full of rapture. The Lord doth shine with such power upon my soul. He is come, he is come. And this is the last little verse that's for you and for me. Where will you spend eternity? This question comes to you and me. Tell me, what will your answer be? Where will you spend eternity? Many are choosing Christ today, turning from all their sins away. Heaven shall be happy portion be. Where will you spend eternity? Leaving the straight and narrow way, going down downward road today. Sad will be their final end, lost through a long eternity. Repent, believe this very hour. Trust in the Savior's grace and power. Then your joyous answer will be saved through a long eternity. Okay, now to the story. And I have to wonder this week, how did all these stories actually get recorded and delivered to us? I don't really have the answer, but they did, and they're here, and we're able to tell them. When I tell this story today, I'll tell you who the main characters are, and then you can see if you can fit into any of these characters. Of course, the Lord God is one of the characters in this story. King Herod Agrippa, the Jews, the church, believers, the guards, the angel of the Lord, maybe the angel coming in human form, the apostles, and today, James and Peter. I'm going to start my story with once upon a time. Now, usually when you have a story once upon a time, you know it's not a true story. But this is a true story. Stories that start with once upon a time usually end with they lived happily ever after. But they don't. And then, actually, on second thought, they do. So, they don't live well, you know what I mean. Here goes. And you know the difference between the upper story and the lower story? Well, upper story is God's story. So, let's go. Once upon a time, AD 44, there was an evil king named King Herod Agrippa. He came from a line of bad kings. Oh, by the way, you can follow me if you like. Acts chapter 12, verses 1 to 19. Please do if you wish, or just listen. He had it in for the people who belonged to this new religion called the church. So he made one of his priorities to harass or persecute them. So these new believers had it rough. One of the first believers he had arrested was James. James was a fervent Jesus follower in earlier days and now was making new believers. Jesus became a martyr. I should say James became a martyr when he was killed with a sword at Herod's orders. Herod noticed that this action pleased the Jews, so he had Peter arrested. It looked like Peter's fate was sealed as well, but due to the Passover feast, he was held in prison. There was some concern that Peter might escape, so extreme measures were taken to make sure that that didn't happen. He was guarded by four squadrons of soldiers each. Four squadrons of four soldiers each. He was chained to a soldier on each side, and two sentries stood at the entrance. Peter was sleeping. Imagine that. Then suddenly the angel of the Lord appeared. A light shone, and the angel tapped Peter and said, "Quick, get up." His chains fell off, and next thing he knew, they were headed to the exit. Peter actually followed the angel since he was in a bit of a daze, just having woken up. They passed the first and second guards, who seemed oblivious to what was happening. They got to the gate leading to the city, and it just opened up by itself, and out they walked, free. Phew, how could this be happening? Peter thought maybe he was seeing a vision, but no, reality began to sink in as they walked away from the prison. They were maybe a block away from the prison when, poof, the angel disappeared. Peter was now wide awake, came to his senses and said to himself, "No doubt in my mind that the Lord sent his angel to rescue me from the clutches of Herod." Obviously, what to do now? It didn't take him long to realize that his fellow brothers and sisters were praying for him at Mary's house. At least he hoped they were. Mary was the mother of John. So he headed over there, banged on the door. Rhoda, the servant girl, came to the door, recognized Peter's voice, but didn't open it due to her excitement, but went and talked to the others, and told her she must be out of her mind. "You're nuts," they said. Peter knew he was at the right house, so he kept knocking. They finally said, "It's Peter's angel." So open the door. So they opened the door, and there stood Peter, real as life. God had rescued him from almost sure death. There was so much commotion in the house, Peter motioned everybody to be quiet, and then he described in detail how the Lord had rescued him from prison. Not long after that, he got out of there. Perhaps he fled. Meanwhile, back at the prison, there was a huge commotion. Their prime prisoner was gone. It wasn't long before Herod got word Peter was not in jail, and so a routine check was done. Shall I say a thorough search? They came back empty. So Herod cross-examined the guards. They had no explanation, so they were subsequently executed. Sometime later, as Herod was giving a speech to the people wearing his royal robes, the people began worshiping him, saying, "This is the voice of a God, not man." And since he did not refute the statement and give praise or credit to God, the angel of the Lord struck him down. He was eaten by worms and died. So, end of story. How can I relate to that? Well, I'm not sure. Maybe we'll find out. I was talking to Shannon about the book, Fox's Book of Martyrs. And it turns out that Kari and Benny had this book. This is not a book for the faint of heart to read, I can tell you. I looked in there. By the way, thank you, Kari, for the book. And one of the first martyrs, there he is in the book, James. And he's got pictures, if you can imagine. And he's being beheaded. Why would anybody want to read this book? Well, I guess we have to realize what people went through, maybe for our behalf, what it costs to be a Christian. Lots of martyrs in there. So you might have noticed on the bulletin, the topic of our message, of my message today, is Christian persecution versus God's deliverance. I don't have to ask you what you prefer. I prefer God's deliverance. One of my questions is, I have more questions than answers, actually. Why was James killed and Peter saved? I can't answer that. So I'm just going to talk for a couple of minutes about persecution, and then we're going to talk about deliverance. And by the way, I have here Who'd want to read just a verse for me? You can find it now. I'll ask for it later. I got two verses. Athena? Who else? Okay. Went to the Open Doors website. That's an interesting place to be. Not any easier than reading that book. What is Christian persecution? Christian persecution is any hostility experienced from the world as a result of one's identification as a Christian. From verbal harassment to hostile feelings, attitudes, and actions, Christians in areas with severe religious restrictions pay a heavy price for their faith. Beatings, physical torture, confinement, isolation, rape, severe punishment, imprisonment, slavery, discrimination in education and employment, and even death are just few examples of persecution they experience on a daily basis. According to the Pew Research Center, over 75%, get that, of the world's population lives in areas with severe religious restrictions. And many of these people are Christians. Christians in more than 60 countries face persecution from their governments or surrounding neighbors simply because of their belief in Jesus Christ. So, first passage, Matthew 5, 10 to 12. I think you got it, Keith, right? You just what? Thank you, Keith. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 10. Athena. Let's talk about deliverances. I was thinking of a few. We're not persecuted, maybe in the same way. Well, Noah was persecuted, but he was sort of delivered too. Actually, he was delivered. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And Peter in today's story. Jonah, Joseph, Isaac. They all got deliverance. I imagine you can think of times and places in your life where you were delivered. Your safety and protection was secured. Maybe you didn't even pray for it and you were delivered. I can think of times like that. Okay, Hebrews chapter 11. And you can turn to that if you like, or you can just answer what you think is the right answer here. So let's say we have two columns. Delivered, martyred. Hebrews chapter 11, and this is all the saints. Enoch, was he delivered or martyred? What? Yes. Noah? Abraham? Moses? Yeah. Rahab? Okay, on the other side, they don't have the names as much, but Hebrews chapter 11 talks about those who were martyred. 35, 36, 37. Tortured, jeered, floggings, chains, prisons, stoned, persecuted, mistreated, sawed in two. So you have in Hebrews chapter 11 kind of an interesting mix of being persecuted to the point of death or delivered. My question to you this morning, are you willing to suffer for Jesus? Am I? Last year, which was 2015, I was encouraged to write a letter to Jesus. And when I wrote this letter to Jesus, I couldn't imagine that I'd be reading it to my congregation. But I'm gonna read you this letter, and I suppose this is gonna be makes me a little transparent, but I'm gonna do it. This is the letter to Jesus. Well, hello, Jesus. I don't know if I've done this before, but I have been encouraged to do this. I do love you and need you. Maybe it's been a while since I told you that, so I'm telling you that now. I sure have been busy lately, and a lot of the stuff is my stuff, not your stuff. Sorry, please forgive me. Quiet times seem to be few and far between, and lots of busy times are about productivity, money, and people. But my heart is for you and God. Nighttime, well, that's a good time to worship. And on the way to the bus, and on the empty bus waiting for the kids. So I do have the time. It's just that life gets in the way. No excuses, but I am an earthling. LOL. You gave me everything I got, both tangible and intangible, like my health and my mind. Both can disappear. I look forward to seeing you someday. Will you look like the pictures of you? You were literally on earth once in human flesh, and now you are here in a more unseen faith way. I have had a wonderful life being a Christian since age 11. That's 55 years. Being a Christian is knowing and loving you, and I want to do that more. Okay, so I'll try to find ways to hang out together more and be purposeful about it. Like planning coffee with a friend. And Jesus, you are a friend. Brings to mind the song we all know. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to Him in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Please forgive me of my sin and unwillingness to submit to you. I am so faltering. Thank you for your word and the parables in your word. They are rich in meaning and direction. I want to be a good student. I want to sit still. I want to be active, but maybe I can serve you in the active way. Please be in my mindfulness. Please be in my actions. Use my exuberance for you and turn my anxiety into spiritual productivity. Shall I say spiritual connectedness to God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Help me to repeat the Lord's Prayer daily, and may I be willing to read a chapter a day from your word. Again, forgive me of my sins and help me to love others more, and importantly, you. Thank you, Jesus, your child, Dick. And so, I don't know how or what will motivate you today, but I think let's just start out with, or finish off with, the Lord's Prayer. We'll say that out loud. And when we're finished that, I would like to ask the worship team to come up. So let's pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. All right, so while the worship team is coming up, we're going to sing a song here that I like. If you don't know that about me yet, you'll find it out now. I like this song. And you guys like it too, don't you?
Yeah.
And the song is real simple. It says, "It's God is so good, He's so good to me." They're going to help me sing it, and then you're going to help me sing it. So, can you stand? Now, what I want you to do is be friends. I want you to hold hands and go right across. And we're going to sing, "God is so good." Come on, right across. Love those people across there. And it goes like this. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. He cares for me. He cares for me. He cares for me. He cares for me. He's so good to me. He loves me so. He loves me so. He loves me so. He loves me so. He's so good to me. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. He's so good to me. Does anybody have another verse? You want to sing? I praise His name. I praise His name. I praise His name. He's so good to me. We love You, Lord. We may be seated.